Study Hall podcast. Today we're sitting here with Mr. Nick Spencer, writer of the book, and we're going to do our best to trick him into telling us secrets about the comic book. So, Nick, how are you doing today?
I am good. I'm good. Thanks for... Matt woke up very early to do this. You should all know that. You'll be listening to this in the comfort of your home at whatever time you feel like, but Matt had to get up. He had... I don't know if he showered.
I didn't.
He has had coffee and breakfast, I think. Did he have breakfast?
No, just coffee.
Okay, see, so he hasn't even had breakfast. He had to skip breakfast. He's going to be starving by the time this is done. So make sure you thank him in the comments, internet.
So before we really dig into the issues here, let's just talk about sort of your process. Between, you know, the first two volumes and the third volume, did anything major change for you about how you approach the book, how you write it?
I have no process. a lot changed with this arc, just because the first two arcs are, in their own different ways, set up arcs. The first arc obviously being... the Glory's arrival at the Academy and their sort of first big adventure together. And then the second arc was really all about getting to know the individual characters and telling us a little bit of their backstories. So the third arc really represented the launch point for the book in some ways, because it was time to start moving. So even though we still use the flashback structure to tell us more about these kids and about the world that they're in, at the end of the day, it was time to start moving the story forward. So it was a different beast than the first two arcs.
The flashback thing was actually something I was going to ask about, because, you know, the first arc didn't have it at all, and then the second one obviously had it a lot, and the whole point was, you know, you're seeing the backgrounds of these kids. So the third arc sort of blends the two. You know, the story's being pushed forward while you're still seeing the flashbacks. When you were originally planning the third arc, did you always have it in mind that you would keep the flashbacks going throughout, or was that something you picked up because you liked the narrative device?
I think that there was a little bit of internal debate on how often they should be used. Should I take an arc off from them, or an arc or two off from them, and then come back and do like another concentrated six issues like we done in the second arc? Or was it better to intermingle them? What I generally found as I got into it was that most of the structures that you try to put into place don't work, and that it's really better to let each issue be what it needs to be. So while there were certain things that I needed to do just to further the story, for the most part, I tried to approach each individual issue and let it structurally exist the way that it needed to. So that's why you'll see different approaches in each issue of this arc, I think. So yeah, they're all different.
So you basically come at each different like flashback as its own beast, rather than just say like, okay, I'm going to have flashbacks in total.
Yeah. Well, you know, 13, for instance, doesn't, it starts with a very quick one. But other than that, it stays entirely in the present day. So it really just depended on each issue. And then there's the sort of question of what's driving the issue. Is it the flashback or is it the present day sequence? You know, that in some of these issues, you see the flashback doing the driving. And then in others, you see that it's more of an accommodation to the mainline story. So, again, what I eventually decided, and I decided this on other points that we'll probably talk about, is at times your outline or your idea of how things should be will get in the way of what's the best issue to tell. So what's the best story to tell, I should say. So I learned to relax a bit on that and not kind of force the issue to be something that it maybe didn't need to be or shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Now, with these characters, you already know every little sort of nook and cranny of their past, right? Like, you have your own internal map somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I have, in terms of all of their flashback stories, there hasn't been a whole lot of improvisation or change from day one. They have character arcs that were pretty well defined for them by the time the first issue came out. So not a great deal has changed in that regard. I know most of the details. There are things here and there that have been added or have changed, but for the most part, their stories are what their stories are. The only real exception to this is Ike's backstory grew significantly as we got into the book, and I think most people can probably figure out what that means.
I was actually going to say I was sort of wondering how much was sort of changed between you know, like when you started 13 and you knew it was going to happen, between when you got to 19, and without like talking about spoilers of the entire arc, did it still basically follow the path that you had laid out for it?
For the most part, there have been a couple of changes, just things that I realized would work better a different way. That's always I think the challenge with these kinds of stories is you're doing a long form mystery and a long form epic, and one of the problems is you would like to think that you are a better writer 2 years of writing later, and so sometimes the ideas or approaches that sounded fantastic to you 3 years ago, you'll recognize as crap now. So that happens, and it's a tricky balance between figuring out how much you have to sort of adhere to what you said you were going to do versus what you know will work better. Because what you don't want is for your big story to get unwieldy just because you're changing. You know, that you still have to reach the destination that you said you were going to reach. And I'm very lucky, you know, in that I still have a lot of belief in my big explanation, you know, that I still have a lot of faith in that being a solid payoff and people liking it. So I haven't had to, you know, throw out the baby with the bathwater, but there are details certainly that are just naturally going to change. Otherwise, you're really just sort of catching up to dictation in your head, and that can get very boring very fast.
Well, I remember in the last chat that we did for this that you did mention, you know, things the finale is basically set in stone, but along the way, you've allowed for fluid changes if it fits into the story.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in the sense that I could have really boxed myself in early, and I didn't. And I'm always thankful to past me for that. yeah, there's nothing that's happened that's had me really have to start, you know, writing up new index cards or anything, but there are some details that certainly have been adjusted as it goes on. But I think for the reading experience, it still feels pretty seamless, which is, you know, the other important element of that.
Mm-hmm.